Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Today, everyone say today, we're going to talk about Resurrection Sunday. And I want you to go to the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark. I said this on Friday. It is not the gospel according to Mark Saundercock, although that would be a blast. It'd be scary. But the gospel of Mark is the action gospel. I'm in the NIV. And if you got your Bible, you can grab that out. If you don't, we've got a big Bible on the screen for you. And just wave your hand if you got that. Are you there? You're there? You're there? You're good? You ready? You can talk to me today. You ready? You ready? Okay. Mark 16, 1 to 8 says, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, like I was awake this morning with Oakland, very early, that guy doesn't warm up. He just wakes up and the first thing he says when he wakes up is, Dad! Doesn't say Mom, he says, Dad! So I can relate. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. This was an angel. And you know, you read in Scripture, people see angels all the time in Scripture, you read about it, and no one ever went, oh, you're so cute, when they saw an angel. Everyone went, oh, glory, there's power. They were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He was. Everyone say was. He was crucified, but on Resurrection Sunday, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So Lord, I thank you for your word today. Thank you that you love us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. They all said amen one more time. Amen. Thank the band. Ben, you get out of here. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have this little... It's like called a rhyme Bible, and we read this to Oakland, and we'll probably upgrade him to another Bible. It's a good Bible. Most of the theology is good, but we read the story, and Jessen was reading this book. It's called The Rhyme Bible, Storybook for Toddlers, and we were reading this little book to Oakland the other day, and Jessen was in Genesis, you know, in the beginning, talks about that, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created the animals, and God created mankind, and God created this and that. And then Oakland, hearing that, he decided to riff off it himself. So he heard that and he started saying, yeah, Mum, yeah, yeah, and God made the barbecue. Yeah, yeah, and God made my dump truck. It's like a little dump truck, you know what I mean? And God made my toys. And Jessen said this. She said, you know, Oaks, God didn't actually make that stuff. Sorry to let you down. God didn't actually make that stuff because God only makes things that are alive. God only makes things that are alive. The signature of God is life. The signature of God is life. I remember in 2019, my beautiful grandma, Margaret Lee, my father's mum, she passed away. She left this earth. She was 94. And I remember I would visit her every Monday. So Jess and I, we'd pop in and say hello, and we'd have a beautiful time with her. And I remember... we were aware that she wasn't doing great. And I remember the day that she passed. And it was on the Monday where I'd normally go and visit her. So I decided to go visit her, and I actually went and saw her body. And when I saw her, two things stood out to me that was so impacting, that has stayed with me to this day and probably will forever. The first thing was, I noticed that her body is just a vessel. It's just a shell. It's just a vehicle. I noticed that she was not there. Her body was, but I knew straight away, my grandma is not here. And then the second thing that occurred to me was, she's not here, but she is alive. She is alive. I knew it. And I've been to different, like, had many different experiences where I've been to a funeral. And I've been to a funeral. I remember going to a funeral of someone, and they didn't know God. There was no faith. And I got to be honest, there was just not a drop of hope. There was not a drop of hope in the room. And it felt very final. And it felt like this is over. And it was tough. I remember going to, I've been to many funerals of believers. And when you go into that funeral, there's a sense of sadness for us, but there is a deep sense of hope and joy, and like this weird sense of like, I'm sad, but I'm also kind of like feel joy about the fact that this person is not dead, they are alive. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is why, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you need not fear death. Because through death, death is no longer a dead end. Death is no longer, it's over. In Christ Jesus, death is a doorway. It's a doorway into eternal life with God forever. Jesus on Resurrection Sunday defeated death. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57, it says, Paul talking to the Corinthian church, he said, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God." Come on, everybody. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. And Paul is referencing Hosea 13, 14, NIV, one of the minor prophets. I've said this before. They're not minor because they're not as good. They're minor because their book is shorter than the major prophets like Isaiah. But Hosea said this, "I would deliver this people from the power of the grave. I'll redeem them from the death." He said this prophetically 750 years before the resurrection of Jesus. He said this, "Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction?" He prophesied what would happen 750 years later, everybody. And we want you to know today that the signature of God is life. When God's hand is on something, it is alive. It is full of life. It is full of joy. And the resurrection is the ultimate validation and proof that the signature of God is life. Hear this today, everybody. If Good Friday was payment for our sin, Resurrection Sunday is the receipt. If the cross was payment, his resurrection is proof of payment. Proof that he overcame. Have you ever been shopping? It's just been really general, trying to be super, just locate everybody today. You ever bought anything ever? Yeah. You ever had a receipt ever? Yeah, super specific. This is my receipt, it's a Coles receipt. And shout out to Coles. Anyway. But you know, when you pay for something, you get a receipt. And if you've ever paid for something, left, and then forgotten, oh, you know, I need to go back because I need to go buy something more. Happens to me all the time. Talk to my wife. And so I remember just the other night, in fact, I was at a pizza shop and I bought pizza and I went in, we paid for it, and then I waited for it and I got a receipt for it. And I went back to get my pizza, and a new person that was, you know, looking after the purchase came to me and said, "Hey, would you like to pay for that?" They tried to make me pay twice for my pizza. I said, "Madam, with all due respect, no." You know why? Because I know this is a Coles receipt, pretend it's a pizza receipt, shut up. You know why I couldn't find it? You know why? Because I have already paid. And you don't pay twice for something that has already been covered. You don't pay again for something that has already been purchased. The resurrection is the proof of payment that what Jesus did on the cross was finished, final, and you have the receipt. It's called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He died to take the sin of the world, and he took it all on that cross. You know, if someone goes to jail, let's say someone goes to jail for 10 years, the sign that they have completed their sentence is that they get out after the due course. Their debt has been paid for. And can I tell you, when Jesus got out of the tomb, when he came out of the grave, it was the sign that the debt had been paid for. It was finished. The wages of sin is death, and we have all fallen short. We have all missed the mark. What is sin? Sin is to miss the mark. Anybody ever missed the mark? Any real people here today? We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short of the standard of God. And God is holy. God is perfect. But I said this on Friday, you gotta know this. You want God to be holy. You want God to be perfect. You want God to be sinless. You want God to be without error or wrong. You don't want a God that's mixed. You don't want a God that's like you. You want a God that's perfect and righteous and clean and clear. And so because that is who God is, if he wasn't, heaven would be earth on repeat. But praise be to God, when we come into eternal life with Jesus Christ, because everybody, he is coming back. You know that today. He is coming back. And when he does come back, we will come into glory with him forever. And there'll be no weeping. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no trouble. Because God will have redeemed what he set out to do through Jesus Christ. He will finish what he began. But I do want you to hear this, everybody, that, you know, when you become a Christian or when you put your faith in Jesus, it's not like blind faith. It's not like ignorance. It's not like to become a follower of Jesus, you have to leave your brain at the door. Can I get a good amen today? Like Khalees was saying, there is actually evidence and proof of the resurrection. The resurrection is so key to everything we believe because it is the validation of everything that Jesus said. Number one thing you need to know is the body was never found. The Romans and the Jews had a vested interest in finding it. The Jews to prove that he was not the Messiah, and the Romans to uphold their authority in the area. For both groups, finding his body was crucial, and the body was never found. Number two, the first eyewitnesses were women. Now, I'm saying this cautiously. Please hear this in context. Yeah. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about a long time ago. Praise God. But you would never, if you were writing a story, if you were making this up, you would never put in the story, if you wanted any credibility, you would never put in the story that it was the women that were the first eyewitnesses, because in court, only men's voice and authority was respected. Like I said, it's dodgy ground. Praise God, it's an old thing. But that's how it was. The only reason you would include that women were the first eyewitnesses is if they were. Number three thing I wanted you to see today is that the evidence we see is that the changed lives of the disciples and their willingness to die. These are dejected, scattered, depressed men who became the apostles who turned the world upside down. Something happened to them. Something happened to them. Something so profound had taken place that their lives were so radically and completely transformed that they were willing to be killed for their witness of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Listen, if they had made it up, they never would have died for their witness. I mean, you know, the body was never found. So people say, oh, did they hide it? If they hid it, if they went to the tomb, number one, they would have had to work out how to roll that big stone away. Secondly, they would have had to come to a Roman soldier and bribe him and tell him to turn a blind eye, which would have been his to his death. Because if anything happened in that tomb, if the body was taken, he would be killed. He would be held responsible. So he would have to take a bribe to embrace his own death. And then if they were to hide the body, why would they die if they knew where the body was? They were not like just executed nicely. They were beheaded, crucified upside down, stoned to death. They were killed brutally, standing on their witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. Can I get a good amen today? He is risen. He is not there. He is not in that tomb. He is not there. He is alive. He is alive. And here's what the resurrection means for your life today. He is risen means you can rely on Jesus. We read in the book of Mark that Jesus spoke of his death and resurrection three times. He predicted it three times in Mark 8, Mark 9, Mark 10. And the disciples were still shocked. They were like, huh, what? What is going on? He told them three times. There is 370 specific verses in the New and Old Testament that speak exactly of his death and resurrection. It is one thing to predict your death, but it's another thing to predict your death and that you will rise from the dead and then actually do it. I read this post from a friend today and said, the tomb of Jesus is the only tourist attraction on earth where people go to see what is not there. He is risen means you can rely on Jesus in the midst of financial uncertainty. Can I get an amen? In the midst of uncertainty with finances, with the economy, with the world, you can rely on Jesus. In the midst of instability, maybe in your home, in your family, in your relationships, you can rely on Jesus. In the midst of a health crisis, you can rely on Jesus. In the midst of discouragement and depression, you can rely on Jesus. Last year, Jess and I had a year. We had a year. We had our house flooded. We had a miscarriage. We had mold breakout in our house. Jess went to the hospital so many times, nearly died from asthma attacks. It was just a big year. We had other stuff too, and it was just a big year. But one of the things that last year taught me, probably more than any year in the last decade, is you can rely on Jesus. You can be in a pit and rely on Jesus. You cannot be able to see where to go, but you can rely on Jesus. You can feel lost at sea, worried and unsure. But can I tell you today, no matter where you find yourself, you can rely on Jesus. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And you know, sometimes I kind of get annoyed, sometimes, not a lot, but no, this annoys me because sometimes what happens is people use this scripture and it kind of is like dismissive of the reality you're going through, you know, like you're going through a challenge and someone, don't worry, you know, good intended Christians, don't worry, all things work together for good. Yeah, but you know, I'm in it right now. I'm in a challenge right now. And here's what I want you to understand. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that in all things, God works it together for good. If he can take death on a cross and work it for good, he can take what is happening in your life and work it together for good. God working things together for good doesn't necessarily mean taking away pain, doesn't mean taking away the thing, but it means he knows how to use it. He knows how to take all the ingredients of your life and work it together for good. This is what the resurrection tells us. It tells us that even in this and that, God works all things together for good. He is like a master chef. He knows how to get any ingredients in your life. I mean, my mom, Jane Lee, love her. She's just there, I love you. She knows how to look in a cupboard, see nothing. Like, there's nothing in the cupboard. We're out. We need to go to the shops. She knows how to take a bit of this and a bit of that and a little bit of this, and suddenly there is a hot roast and there is potatoes. I didn't even know that we had potatoes. She must have dug them up from the ground somehow, found them in the neighbor's backyard. She just knows how to take all these things and work them to make something good. This is what God is like in your life. And if you're in the middle of something, don't quit. God is working it together for good for all those that love him and are wrapped up in his purposes. He is risen means you can rely on Jesus. Worship team, can you join me? The last thing I want you to see today is that he is risen means you can have the same life-giving power that raised Jesus from the dead. How you doing today? You doing all right? Still with me? If the cross was the greatest demonstration of God's love, the resurrection is the ultimate demonstration of his power. God has power. He has life-giving power for you today. Some of us can find ourselves trying harder, but do you know the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of these are the fruit of the life-giving power of God living in you. Jesus said the same power that raised him from the grave lives in you. And I got to tell you, this peace that you get from God is not something you create. It's the peace of God. This joy you get from God is not like happiness. Happiness is based on the happenings of your life. Joy is based on the character of God. That whether the happenings are good, bad, or ugly, I have joy because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, everybody. This is love not like the world offers love. This is the love of God. God isn't just loving, God is love. And this love is patient, kind, and life-giving. And I believe today that God wants to fill you with his grace, with his love, with his mercy, and with his life. And all you need to do, all it takes, is to turn to God and say, Lord, here I am.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.